Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on October 6th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, with us, because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. I'm very excited about today's show.
Yeah. This is something that many people have been involved with. It normally starts in high school at the high school level. Some organizations actually go into the middle schools and do drama productions, but most people meet their first experience with the Thespian Society or drama
theater, or
performance.
Theater.
And we're so excited to talk with this group. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Well, our guests this morning we're going to be learning about the upcoming Mira Costa High School Drama Tech Department's production of 12 Angry Jurors. And our guests include Director Kathy Chambly-Bear and a group of the students from the Drama Tech Department, Junior Sophia Aguirre Foreman, okay, Junior Scott Baxter, Senior Bryn Borowski, Junior Sophie Boylan, Senior Natalie Dreger, Senior Will Martins, and Senior Lily Fuller. Now, the play will run from October 12th through October 14th for four shows only at the Mira Costa High School Small Theater located at 1401 Artesia Boulevard in Manhattan Beach. Now, adult presale tickets are $12, at the door $15. For students, presale tickets are $10, and at the door again, $12. So, Joe, what I want to do is, as we go through each person, I have bios on everybody, and I'll just give you a little bit about them as we speak to them. Welcome back to the program, Mustangs. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you. We're really happy to be here. It's exciting.
Well, we're excited to have you all because we believe, I'm sure Jackie concurs, that drama, performance, art in general in high school is so important so that people can find out, you know, if that is their path. I mean, there are so many different paths in life. You could be a scientist, you could be a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, a chiropractor, but then there are the arts. And we don't believe that people get exposure to the arts on the ground practically as much as they should. So we're excited to talk with all of you. Kathy, let me start with you as the director. When was the decision made to produce this particular play, and how are those decisions made?
This year, we have an executive director at Mira Costa in charge of drama and tech extracurricular, And Kerry Jardal is his name. He's been with MiraCosta for many, many years, and he's been directing a lot of their plays for many years. And the decision for the plays actually happens during the summer. He, along with a couple of people on our production team, may read plays. This is a man who has theater to the core. He generally knows most of the plays, but he will read them and go over them. I've worked with him for a few years. I would say his motivation is always looking for how can we expand the minds and experience for the students, and how can we get more students to have those opportunities. So for the fall plays, it's actually two plays this fall season. They're both dramas. We've done comedies before. We've done improvisation before. And I think the thing that Kerry Jardal comes from is just how can we, over the course of a student being here for 4 years, how can they have as many varied experiences as possible, and how can we give more and more students opportunities? So these two plays that they're doing this year, 12 Angry Jurors and The Diviners, is all about that. It's covering topics and themes that are very relevant and very poignant right now in our whole world. So it's introducing the students to those kind of questions and letting them answer them for themselves.
Right, right. Okay. We are in a time now when I'm not sure. Kathy, can you tell us, are the arts in school as well supported as we hope, or are they under attack? I'm talking just financially right now. Or are things okay generally?
Well, I think my answer will be very separated. This community is amazing. This community, I literally get choked up talking about this community. They are incredibly supportive of our high school and of the arts. We are very, very fortunate in the South Bay.
Right.
The adults, the students, we have incredible support, and it's wonderful that people come out to see the shows. It turns into a community social event. So we are very, very fortunate. Unfortunately, as all of us know, that's not the case in so many communities, and they certainly need help. Arts is one of the first things to leave, and that's so sad, because, those are the things that sustain us, through a lot of hard times. So.
Right, right. Of course. Well, we love living in the bubble here in the South Bay. It is a wonderful place. Let's start with the seniors. Bryn,
let me give you each person's bio as we go to them. Okay.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, senior, okay. Bryn Borowski.
And Bryn Borowski is juror number six. She's a senior and is incredibly excited to be in her fourth show at MiraCosta. She has been a part of the drama department since her freshman year, performing in Oklahoma, The Addams Family, and Thoroughly Modern Millie. She would like to thank the amazing cast, crew, and especially Kathy for all of their hard work and dedication, and she wants everybody to enjoy the show.
So, Bryn, how many productions have you been in? I mean, when did you start with the drama department?
Well, with the drama department at Costa, I've been in four shows, but I've worked crew or the tech side of the shows for 4 years now, three. So I've done both. If I wasn't in the show, I would be crew for it.
Okay, good. And what was your first impression of this particular play when you found out that this was going to be the production for this year?
When I first read the play, I read it over the summer when it was announced, and I was like, wow, this is really hardcore, and it's really interesting, and I know that the audience would really like it.
Yeah.
Bryn, did you see the original movie?
No, I haven't seen the original movie, but I've watched some scenes of it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, I mean, when you watch a few scenes on YouTube, what do you think of the staging of the movie? In that, I don't know if you know, but if the movie was 103 minutes, 96 minutes of the movie were in the jury room. I mean, it was kind of a revelation, or it was very unusual at that time in 1957. The director had a sort of a reputation for doing new and crazy things, and it was considered like unheard of to shoot an entire movie in a single room. What did you think of it?
I think it's really cool, but also like for the play itself, like most of us never leave the stage, and that's really interesting because you have to be tuned in the entire time and you can't take a break, and you have to be like fully involved with the story for people to sit there and believe that you're actually like really into it.
Right.
Kathy, was
yes.
this originally, I don't remember, was this originally a play or a book or a movie script? I don't know. Do you know?
Yes, it was originally a teleplay in 1952, I believe, early 50s. Robert Cummings was Juror 8, which is the one man who votes not guilty in the entire play, follows after that, and he won many awards for it. Then it was changed to a telemovie in the later 50s with Fonda playing the lead and
right.
E.J. Cummings.
Right.
1957. And that movie
yeah.
was the one that most people think about, and it was beautifully done. Then it was a play, 12 Angry Men. Then it was a play, 12 Angry Women. And now they encourage, with the rights, encourage you to blend it so that it can stay relevant. You can blend it women, men, and it's just called 12 Angry Jurors. And the combination is up to the director.
Now,
you know,
one of the...
I just wanted to say two things. A, it makes for, I got to believe it makes for a very easy set, considering that the entire play takes place in one room. And B, I remember, I saw that movie several times, and it's one of the most tense movies ever, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Extremely tense, riveting movie, and much easier to cover and get that across on film, because you can do those camera angles literally from the table, you know, up through someone's head to the ceiling and see the fan and the time change. It's been a wonderful challenge. I think the trick here is to make the set look like it's simple, because you do want to take care of the fact that it's hot. We're putting our play in 1967 in Chicago on purpose to make it sort of give us a 50-year mark. Theme-wise, to take a look at the fact that 50 years has gone by and we're still grappling with the same ideas of bias and judgment and prejudice and things like that. But we also want to get across the fact that it's the summer in Chicago in a high-rise. You're stuck in this room without an air conditioning, and a lot of time is going by in this same room. So we've tried to create a movement and a set that can use the lighting to increase tension and to increase the emotional involvement in the play.
Right, right. Mm. All right. So, Natalie Dreger. Dreger. Bio?
Natalie Dreger is juror number 12. She's a senior at MiraCosta, and this is her fifth show with the drama department. And she's a classically trained singer and has worked in television and film for many years. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. So I'm going to probably ask everyone some version of the same question in terms of, I want to know how you first found out about this material. Had you ever watched the movie, perhaps with your parents? How did you first encounter this material?
Well, I'm kind of a person that's big on context. So I've seen this show before prior to us finding out the show. And when I did find out this summer, I was really excited because this is a Hallmark piece. You know, it was one of the first pieces done in the 1950s to outwardly address the bias in the justice system, the American justice system. And it's a landmark film from the point that it did, in fact, win so many Emmys that year, since it was a teleplay and then later a film. It's just an important piece in American literary history. And I know a lot of people don't think of plays as literary history, but this is definitely one of them. As Kathy kind of reiterated, this piece was one of the first ones to be done, you know, singularly in one room. So it's kind of revolutionary in the way that plays, films, they were done at the time. So I've seen the movie before. I love the material, and I was very, very excited to find out that this was one of the shows we were going to be doing this year.
What are you most excited about and or afraid of in your performance in this play?
Well, I play juror number 12, and she is kind of a pariah. She's a career woman in the 1960s in the advertising world. So for her, a lot of this is kind of a reflection of what she's seen. She just wants to be sold on something. So the key for me is, even though this is 12 angry jurors, not necessarily being angry, but trying to maintain control.
Natalie, do the characters have names, or are you strictly known by your juror number?
Kind of like in any jury situation, we are really not referred to as our names. You know, this play is not necessarily about who we are, but what we represent, the facets of American culture and the American stereotypes in one room that we represent. We're representing our viewpoints more than people.
All right.
Fascinating. All right. Now, Jackie, bio for Will Martins.
All right. Hang on. Okay, Will Martins plays juror number 8. He's a senior and beyond thrilled to be part of 12 Angry Jurors this fall. His past MiraCosta productions include The Addams Family, Tonight's Play, and Oklahoma. He enjoys playing piano, guitar, and bass, reading, and blabbering on and on about completely useless information he somehow finds interesting. He would like to thank the cast, crew, and boosters for the hard work they have put into this production. And he says, rock on and enjoy the show.
So, Will, tell us, how long have you been in the drama department? Have you been in several performances throughout your high school career?
I actually joined the drama department my sophomore year. I was writing and taking photos for the newspaper my freshman year. And it was actually on an assignment that I kind of discovered the drama department. I was taking pictures at one of the holiday benefits where there's a couple of performances, just short things to kind of do for the community. And I was taking pictures for it, and I thought it was really cool. And then I ended up seeing Thoroughly Modern Millie that year too. And it was just kind of an amazing thing that the department put on. And I kind of decided right then and there, like, wow, I really want to be a part of that. So the next year I joined the drama department and auditioned for Addams Family and got an ensemble part in Addams Family and got to be a part of that. That was probably one of the most amazing times in my high school career. And so I continued writing and taking photos for the newspaper and also performing and being a part of the drama tech department. And ever since then I've been leaning towards the drama department, getting more involved, and every year I try to do more things with the shows.
Well, I wish all of you a great career and success in everything that you do, but I will tell you from personal experience that the pictures and the memories from your time in drama in high school will live forever. I have people from high school that continually every year post a few pictures here and there of drama, of plays that I was in high school, and we all talk and reminisce about it. It's really sort of a peak moment. But so now I want to know, Will, from you, when you first encountered this material, either in watching the movie with friends, family, or the play itself, when did you first encounter this material and what did you think about it?
When I first saw both plays coming out on the Boosters website for what we're going to be doing this year, I was excited about both the Diviners and 12 Angry Jurors. I knew they were both dramas. I didn't know too much about either. I did know that 12 Angry Jurors, more specifically 12 Angry Men, my dad is a big fan of. He's actually a civil litigation lawyer, so he knows a whole lot about the business, and he really likes those movies. And so he was excited about that one, and I do know that. And both plays really were interesting to me. I read a little bit of both. And, yeah, and so eventually I've never seen the movie, and I don't think I really want to until after the play is over, you know, just so I can kind of remember the first, you know, time I ever do this is when I do it with all my friends and then maybe watch it after. But,
right.
But yeah, and I liked it. The more I do it, the more I like it. When we first read through it, I was just kind of in awe about all the different characters and all the different intense moments that the play has. And the more we add to it, the more set, the more props, the more lines and notes we add to it, the better it gets and the more fun I have practicing and preparing for the shows.
Right.
Well,
right.
Let me ask you a question. So you've done, this will be your fourth play that you're doing. And I noted in the intro that it's only going to be for four performances. When you do these shows and there's only four performances, do you wish it could go on? You do all this work. You do all this work and you prepare and prepare and prepare and you put on the show. And it's, and I would imagine, as with any play, that the more you do it, the better you get at it. And is it bittersweet to just have four performances of it?
It really is. I think everyone in this room and everyone in the cast would perform this show every night for the rest of our lives if we could. And yeah, it's a really great show. And like I said, the more we do it, the more I like it. And it really just affects each and every one of us. And yeah, I think it is bittersweet. We have four shows. And it makes me happy that we can really focus on those four shows to just nail and maybe, you know, learn from some and really love some and just find all of the really interesting parts of each one. And yes, it is bittersweet in the sense that I wish we could do more, and everyone is always going to wish they're going to do more. And hopefully everyone who comes sees it hopes that they get to see more. But yeah, I'm excited to do these four shows. And then later, I'm excited to go see The Diviners, and it's going to be just one big, great year of productions in the drama department.
Absolutely. So now let's move on to Lily Fuller. Jackie?
Lily Fuller plays juror number 3, and she's been in the drama department since her freshman year, and she plans on pursuing theater in college. Lily's past shows include the school's production of Almost Maine and Oklahoma. Now, this character has been a change from what she's used to, but she loved every minute of rehearsals. And Lily wants to thank Carrie Jordahl, Kathy Bear, and the rest of the production team and cast, and she hopes everybody enjoys 12 Angry Jurors.
So, Lily, when you think of your career in drama, in high school, what are some of the highlights for you?
Ooh, okay. Well, the best moment of, I think, my high school career and the best time of, like, my young life has been in Almost Maine, which I did in my junior year. It was the first show I got cast in at Costa, and it was absolutely incredible. I never thought that I would go on in my life and do theater or acting or arts or anything. I don't know why, because it's like the only thing I'm good at, but I never thought, I don't know. It never like crossed my mind because people talk about how it's so impractical and all this. And then I remember being on stage on opening night, and there's just like this one moment where I like look out into the crowd and say one of my lines, and it was like everyone's reaction. And then that moment I was just like, yeah, I have to do this for the rest of my life, because there's nothing better than this feeling. And it's just, that was probably like the best moment in the department and in high school. And then from there, it's just gotten increasingly better. Like every day in the drama department is awesome. Everyone in the class, like we all wait to see each other every day and we have so much fun. And I honestly don't even know what like a bad memory would be in this department. Like everything is so incredible and we're all such good friends and it's just fantastic.
I have to ask, after that, I have to ask Lily, and this is for you only, Lily. I'm going to say a few names, and I want to know if you recognize them. Dustin Hoffman, Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Do you recognize these names?
Yeah.
These are all people who, to a person, and I could go through a list 10, 20, 30 long of people who say and have said, I believe I've seen in multiple interviews, I wasn't good at anything else. It's really, I'm amazed you said that, because that's something that is universal almost with people who commit fully to something. That, well, I really wasn't good at anything else, but then my whole mind and my whole spirit found this one thing. And then after that, people said, oh, wow, you're really good at that. So you like drama, huh?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Can I ask Kathy a question? Kathy, you there?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
So I heard, I think Bryn mentioned it first. She said she first off, give us the definition or the reason why the drama and the tech departments are combined. When I think of tech, as I said earlier, I think of computers, that sort of thing. But I know that in theater you have lights and audio and all this other stuff you have to deal with. What is it exactly?
I think it comes from the desire to tell the story. So I think when you're pursuing drama, you know, every aspect of it is about telling the story to the audience. So that includes the writer of the play, that includes the set, that includes hair and makeup, that includes the actors doing their characters. I think in this drama tech department, we feel like every aspect of it is about how can we best tell the story and move the audience one direction or the other and affect people. So I think with a realization that, in fact, drama tech was working with drama performance all along, I came to a point where they needed to appreciate each other. And I think both departments sort of realized that and combined. Again, Kerry Jordahl runs the tech department there. Probably a process of him moving into directing some of the shows too was maybe the first time they were thinking about and realizing how close those departments work together already. And that if they actually had an appreciation for each other. I think a lot of times in high schools, particularly, actually in the business, the entertainment business too, you can as an actor perform your parts, work on your story, and then and never know who the camera guy is, never know who the lights guy is, never know who the makeup person is. And I think it's great that in this level of high school, we're realizing that you shouldn't and wouldn't want to operate that way, really. To know each other and to work with each other and appreciate what everybody brings to the table is more important.
So what it comes down to is you can't do performance without tech, and you don't need tech without a performance. It goes hand in hand.
You certainly won't have the most full performance, the most full storytelling possible. There are a couple of, you know, Sophia and Sophie in our cast have worked tech and know a lot about the drama tech department also, and can help fill you in more about what direction they come from too.
Well, that brings me to my next question. So when you decide what productions you're going to do and you've done, is it the people that didn't make the cast, do they work on tech, or are there people in the drama department, performers, that every so often will say, you know what, I'm going to sit this out and I would prefer to work tech on this? How does that work?
A little of both, really. There is a tech department with a lot of very talented students whose objective is tech theater, and they don't audition for parts. And then there are a lot of actors in the drama department who may audition for parts or who may decide to do drama tech. Again, I think it's great because they're all kind of melding together where you can experience all those parts. And A lot of students along the way, in fact, over the past few years, have actually discovered their, you know, career path by being able to be in different positions, having auditioned, be on the stage, having been behind the scenes, having been in makeup and tech. A lot of those students end up going to universities and trade schools afterwards following that route. And I'll let Sophie talk to that too for a second.
Hello.
Hi.
I think
we have to do a bio on you. It's Sophie
okay.
Boylan.
Okay. Yes. Sophie Boylan plays the judge in this production. She's a junior and an avid member of the Drama Tech Department and Comedy Sports. Previous credits include The Addams Family, Almost Maine, Tonight's Play, and Oklahoma. And she is so excited to experience the opposite side of the stage. Sophie, just kidding. I've actually been typing this entire time. She wants to thank Carrie Jordahl, Carol Matthews, Debbie Busby, and especially Kathy Bear for this wonderful opportunity, and she hopes everybody enjoys the show.
Now, you were saying, Sophie?
I was going to talk about combining the Drama Tech Department is such a beautiful thing because everyone works on this production in such different ways, and we all do it kind of like behind the curtain, whether we are performing in it, if we're building the set for it, if we're working on lighting, if we're working on design, we're all kind of like in our own like bubble doing it, and no one really sees what's going on until Tech Week, where everything gets pulled together and creates like one beautiful like art piece where it's like now the actors have a stage to act on, and now like the light people have people to light, and it's just great how everything just comes together like a big puzzle piece.
Right. Now, I'm not sure, but can you tell me how many lines does the judge have in this play?
I can tell you how many sentences the judge has.
Yes. Right, because...
So, I start out the
99%.
Show...
99%. Go on.
So... I start out the show with like a little monologue to give the audience kind of like what's happening here and what the jurors will be like discussing. And it's just really fun.
So when you think about your experience as in drama in your career, you're a junior. What is it that you really, 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 really want to do next year?
One thing that I really want to do is that, well, 12 Angry Jurors is my first experience kind of being on stage with like a script where, like I really have to like experience that side. And so this experience has been so fun for me and I've really enjoyed it. So next year I hope to kind of do the same thing and continue to audition. And if not, like if something comes up, I also love the technical side of it and, being behind the stage and kind of like just working wherever I'm needed. It's just really fun.
Okay.
I want us to take a station break right now.
Yes. Well, let's take a station break. ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we are talking with 12 Angry Jurors. And the MiraCosta Tech and Drama Department, and of course, Director Kathy Chambly-Bear, we're having a wonderful discussion about this upcoming performance on that the play will run from October 12th. Through October 14th for four shows only at the MiraCosta High School Small Theater located at 1401 Artesia. It's going to be a fantastic performance. We hope you can all attend. And adult pre-sale tickets are $12 and student pre-sale tickets are $10. And there's just a minor additional cost at the door. So please do come, please buy your tickets early, and we're going to continue our discussion. Now, I want to circle back with you, Lily, and I just want to get your response to this piece. What do you have anything to compare it with, and what do you think about the play itself?
Well, I have read a lot of plays. Plays are my favorite part of anything dramatic. When I first heard that we were doing it, I honestly didn't really think much of it
just because I don't know why my dad loves it. It's like his favorite show. I just didn't really think much of it. I wasn't like really as much drawn towards it as I was the other show. But then I did end up watching scenes from it because my mom got really excited about it, so she made me watch it. And I remember thinking, wow, that's really aggressive. The whole thing is just like so aggressive, and it's like really hard to do a show like this, just because we're all on, most of us anyway are all on stage the whole show, and even if like it's a smaller character who doesn't have a lot of lines, it's like you are acting the entire show because you're sitting on stage and you have to stay connected, and it's like it's honestly not really comparable to much else because it's such a unique show because no one ever leaves. Like, you're on stage and you have to be in there in the moment, even if you're not talking. And if you are talking, you have to make yourself heard because it's really crowded. We're in a small space and the room itself is supposed to be small. So I don't know what I would compare it to, if anything. It's such a unique show.
It is very unique and exciting. Now let's go and talk with Sophia Aguirre Foreman, and we'd like to get your bio first, Sophia.
Oh, actually, Sophia is the foreman of the show. We were saying her name was for her last name.
What?
Was Foreman. My bad. My bad. Okay, Sophia plays the foreman. She's a junior in both drama and tech. She can't wait to finally get on the stage. She's extremely excited as this is her first ever production as the foreman. She'd like to give a big thanks to the production team for this amazing opportunity, the amazing cast and crew for an incredible experience. Lastly, she thanks Carrie Jordahl and Kathy Bear for all the love and motivation, and she hopes that everyone is guilty of enjoying the show. Hi, Sophia.
Hello.
Guilty. Hi. So I have a question for you.
We gave her a new hyphenated last name, Joe.
I see. It's gonna be. Yeah. When I heard your name, Sophia, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but when I heard your last name, I think instantly a movie. Has anyone ever told you that?
I have not heard that. No.
It's Aguirre, the Wrath of God.
Oh.
Aguirre, the Wrath of God. Has anyone heard of that movie?
I haven't.
No.
It's a German movie. Werner Herzog is the director. Werner Herzog. It's called Aguirre, the Wrath of God, or Der Sohn Gottes. You should look it up. It's kind of pretty cool.
I definitely will.
Cool. When you think of, you know, your career as a drama in the drama department, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do next year? And what have you done so far that you're really proud of?
I think my biggest accomplishment is just getting onto this cast and getting onto this show. It is my first show in general. Coming into Costa, I had never done anything in the drama region. I had no idea about it. My middle school didn't have a performing arts program, so it was very new to me. But I had always been interested in it. And so when I got casted into 12 Angry Jurors, I was super ecstatic. And it was a big step for me to just like get my chance to finally get onto the stage and experience the process of what a play becomes and how it becomes what it is in the end. And I think this is just like my biggest accomplishment, and I hope that next year I'm able to be casted into another show and really spread my wings and, you know, just really, really experience everything that I can while I'm here.
Mhm. Mhm. When you first read the play, what was your first impression of it?
I loved the fact that it was very realistic, and it wasn't something that like, it wasn't any other story that you could read in any other, like many other plays are. But this had, it was very touching to the time that we are in now, and it touched on the times in general. So it related to what I knew, and I felt that it was very, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed what it is about, and that I will get to perform in it.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then we just want to introduce the last juror we have with us, Scott Baxter. Bio, Jackie?
Scott Baxter plays juror number 10. He's a junior in his second year at MiraCosta, and he was in the cast of tonight's play last year, as well as front of house for Oklahoma. He's excited to take part in a play so relevant at the moment and can't wait to share it with everybody. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
So, you know, we've asked this this question multiple times, and I, because I'm fascinated by how many different people, you know, come together on one piece of text, but they see it and they respond to it differently. How did you respond to this play when you first read it?
So I saw that MiraCosta was doing 12 and Read Jurors, and so I went and I got a copy of the play, and I opened up and I read it all the way through. And once I was done, I looked at Juror 10 and I said, I want to do that, because Juror 10 as a character is so, he's a racist and a bigot, and he's very much, he's very divisive, and he sort of represents all the, some of the worst things about American culture. And it just seemed like such a challenge to portray that and still make him an interesting character, so a character that you want to think about and watch move around the stage and speak to people.
Yeah, no, I see that. I mean, to be a racist and a bigot, but a caricature, almost a buffoon or a clown, would be one way that you could play it, but then that would be a very unrelatable character, so you don't want to do it that way. So how did you approach that?
Well, I started out with the thought process that if someone is a racist and a bigot, there must be a reason for it. There has to be some underlying tension in their life that drives them to blame like a general group of other people for their misfortune. And so, I have in my head, my background for my character is that, you know, he's a steel worker and he's seen friends as they grow older and they're replaced by a bunch of new workers who, because of a bunch of civil rights gains, happen to be black and Hispanic. And he knows that he's going to be replaced soon. He sees that coming towards him. And so he feels like he's being attacked by this group, and so he tries to lash out at them. He blames them for
Hello.
I don't know what happened there. They're still on the line, but we've lost audio on them. I don't know. Oh, nope, we just lost them. I will get them right back on the line. Hang on. You know, that's interesting what he was talking about. Hang on. I want to ask him about that. I want to ask him about that. Hang on 1 second. We'll get them right back on.
All right. He might have lost power.
You know what I'll do?
Phone.
I'll try the other phone. I'll try the other phone that he had and see if that works.
Yes.
This is why we don't like using cell phones.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
It's the way of the world, though, now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yes, hello.
Hey, hello. Kathy, we got cut off from the other phone, so we're going to use yours for now, okay?
Okay, that's terrific. We could hear you calling back, but you couldn't hear us on Scott's phone. Oh. Go ahead.
All right. So, Scott, you want to continue where you left off? We were talking about your character's backstory.
Just portraying someone who is racist and bigot and making them into a caricature, it doesn't demonstrate anything to the audience, because you can tell that it's a caricature, that it's an exaggeration.
Right.
When you make it real, when you make it someone who feels threatened and encroached upon, I think it gives the audience a much realer sense of what actual racists and bigots are like and how they and what their experience is.
Right.
Now, that's interesting
right.
that you mentioned this. Now, when you're creating the backstory for your character, is that all you, or do you go to Kathy and say, you know, this is what I'm imagining this guy is feeling? How does that process work?
The first couple of rehearsals we had, Kathy told us that we were never going to reveal anything about our characters on stage more
right.
than what's actually expressed through the text. But we would need to have backstories like that to understand what their motivation is, to understand who they are. We all have names in our heads, that their characters' names, and none of us ever say them, but they're there. And so the process is, you know, we come up with a story, we come up with motivation stuff, and we'll consult with Kathy about it. We'll ask her, and she'll give us feedback on it. And it's a reciprocative process.
Right.
All right.
Right.
It's interesting.
Now, this is a new dimension, Kathy, for this material for many of us who have loved the movie and thought of the movie as kind of that piece, that seminal piece, 12 Angry Men. But because now it's 12 Angry Jurors and there are women involved, the universe of interactions that can go on in that jury box or in that jury room can be quite expanded. I mean, I can think of, you know, not just men versus, you know, men versus women, women versus men, but there could be gay actors and all of that could be included in this play. Were you thinking actively about that when you did this play, that there's a big universe of interactions that now is open to you?
Absolutely. We put it in 1967. So that we could still, I mean, as I said before, I really hope to get across the theme that it's been 50 years, folks, and we're still dealing with some of the same questions and researching and, you know, testing ourselves. And the fact that now we have also gender bias and we have choice biases, life biases, color biases, you know, all of those. The theme about this thing that I love so much is that idea of understanding that when you come to the table, whether it's literally to the table to vote or just to the table of life, you bring with you your baggage, your agenda, your life experiences. And to think that any of us are making, we'd love to think that we come and make our judgment based on nothing, on trying to be the most fair. But even if you have that desire, that intelligent desire to come, you know, at something from the most fair and just place, you can't help the fact that you are made up of your life experiences, your past experiences, and maybe, for me, and this goes into a personal thing, maybe with intelligence and desire, you can at least acknowledge that and you'll get closer to something that is just. So I love those scenes in here. I love the fact that now we can also deal with gender bias also. And we don't put it out there so strongly, but it's clear because you've got several genders on stage. So
right.
Dealing with that was definitely something in my mind, though.
Kathy,
right.
Kathy, how much of the script did you have to alter to accommodate the fact that it's not all men?
They, as I said, they produce a script called 12 Angry Women and 12 Angry Men,
okay.
And then they encourage you to use any part of this. Now, very many productions will use a combination of the teleplay, the original teleplay, the telemovie, both scripts. There are so many forms of this play out there that very often my cast was working from 12 Angry Women because it just happened to be, you know, what could be bought. And I was working from 12 Angry Men because I had my own personal bias that they had written 12 Angry Women a little soft. I wanted to combine things. I didn't want to make all the women crocheting and having a sewing circle and things like that. For 1967, I still didn't want that to be there. So we did a sort of a combination of those two scripts, which fortunately, you know, is encouraged by the rights of the teleplay and the play and all the many adaptations of it.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Well, this has been an amazing discussion with some young artists that really seem engaged. Kathy, what a wonderful life it is to be involved with young people discovering art, discovering their own relationship, and I applaud your efforts.
Thank
yes.
you, Joe. I'm really glad you said that because I would like to tell you that having worked for a few years in this high school at Maricopa with these students, I was telling someone yesterday, these are great minds. So when we, these trying, struggling, difficult days and times that can really play on your emotions as an adult, working with these young people, I leave here always going, you know what, I'm not worried. I'm just not worried. If these are the voices of the future, if these are the children these incredible parents are helping to raise and bring into existence and bring it, these are the thoughts, these are minds. I'm not worried. It's going to be great.
Mm, right, right. That's interesting. Yeah, the future is secure. I would just like to highlight for all of you, jurors and judge, to look at some of the work that, for instance, the director of the 1957 film is one of my favorite directors. Sidney Lumet is his name, L-U-M-E-T, and Sidney Lumet. And he directed 12 Angry Men in 1957. But some of the other movies that he directed, you may recognize the name of, and you may look up The Pawnbroker with Rod Steiger. Rod won the Academy Award for Best Actor that year. There was one called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead with Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's now deceased, but this was 10 years ago. And so that's one of the more recent films. Network in 1976 with Peter Finch, an amazing movie. Serpico in 1973 with Al Pacino I think he's a New York City cop. These films are just they're all very much a reflection of the director's tastes and attitudes. So Sidney Lumet has definitely put his stamp on all of these films, and they're all amazing, and they're all great films, and have been lauded throughout this, you know, last few several decades of his career. So I encourage you to look them up. That's all.
Joe, you know what I want to do, Joe?
Yes,
I want to go. I want to go through each of the students here, and I want to hear what their plans are once they graduate. I know we have juniors and seniors, but I'd like to
yes.
hear from each of them where they want to go, what their plan is. Oh, go ahead.
You have a list?
I do.
Go with your list.
Let's go with the list. Let's go with Sophia, who we gave a new last name. what's your you're only a junior, but what's your plan? What's your long-term goal?
My long-term goal is definitely to be involved in the arts in general. I'm very involved in both the technical side and the artistic side of it. So I think my future would include possibly still acting, but maybe taking on the business side of the performing arts business or the technical side and exploring that more.
All right. Okay, Scott. Scott Baxter, what's your foreseeable goals?
The first thing I say to people when they ask me that is not to remind me. I kind of want to go into environmental science because I'm just really obsessed with outdoors and I love being out in the wild. So probably a park ranger or a wild firefighter.
Wow. All right. That's interesting. You can use your skills out there in the backcountry.
Yeah.
Okay, Bryn. Bryn, you're going to be graduating this year. What's your plan?
My plan for college is to either major in musical theater or psychology because I'm very interested in both. And even if, acting is not the career I end up going into, I still want to be as involved with theater and go out and see shows, for the rest of my life.
All right. I like that. I like that. Sophie Boylan.
Similar to what Sophia said, is that I definitely plan to stay in the arts. I'm in the perfect place to be working kind of behind the scenes in broadcast television, and so that's kind of, where I want to go, kind of work camera, work lights. So I think my career is definitely going to be more behind stage, but I'm excited for what the future holds.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. Natalie Dreger, you're a senior. Where are you off to once you graduate?
Well, it's interesting you ask because I'm actually going to submit today my application for Vanderbilt Blair School of Music in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm looking to be a vocal performance major, mainly working with opera. My plan probably after college is to try and go be one of the young artists in maybe the Vienna Opera, try and do that for a couple of years, and then return back here to Hollywood and go back to working in film and television. But, yeah, I plan to use my voice to help me pay for college.
Well, remember us. We knew you when, okay?
That's right.
you
can throw an interview
to
the little people.
I'll remember you guys.
okay. All right. Okay. Will Martins, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm going to be graduating this year, and I want to try to keep things, open as it can be, but definitely stay involved in the arts. But I want to pursue something with law, I think, in the near future or the far future. But like I said, I always want to be involved with music and theater and never really lose that part of me.
Well, as we all – theater, the best litigators – have some theater background, right, Joe? I mean, you got to be quite
true.
An actor to get up there and litigate, right?
Absolutely.
And Lily, you're a senior. What's coming up for you?
Well, I'm applying for 4-year colleges right now, and I'm going to pursue either theater in college, acting, or musical theater. And after that, I don't really know. Maybe move back here to California because there's a great theater scene here. There's also an incredible theater in Chicago, which people don't really pay attention to as much, and I feel like it's really underrated. That could be fun. But my plan is always to be involved with the arts. I don't really care if it's impractical anymore. It's just what I've decided to do because I love it. So that's all it's going to be.
All right.
Good for you. Okay, one more time. The MiraCosta High School Drama Tech Department is putting on a production of 12 Angry Jurors. It's going to run from October 12th to October 14th for 4 shows only at the small theater at MiraCosta. Adult presale, $12. Student presale, $10. It's only 4 shows. So if you want to see the show, buy your ticket now because it will sell out. Thank you, Mustangs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And, of course, thank you, Kathy. We love talking with your students. What a great group of students you have today. It's fantastic.
Thank you. They really are. It was, and it was very fun. We appreciate you guys wanting to interview and putting the word out there. Thanks so much.
All right. 12 Angry Jurors. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.